Hello, you're listening to Gaze Gaze, in which we are gay and we do gaze into media that's by, for, or about ladies who love ladies. And sometimes we talk about other stuff. I'm Erin, and you know it's against the law to let baby Jesus touch the ground.
And I'm Erin, and I have a lot of work to do because nobody else does anything around here but me.
Okay, all right. Says the one who was sick again.
Yeah.
Welcome to Gaze Gaze, where we can't stop getting sick.
Yeah, welcome to cough gaze, sickly gaze.
Yeah.
Did you know you can get the flu twice in 1 year?
Did you know you can get the flu twice in 1 month?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Erin, that this has happened to you. It shouldn't happen to anyone.
It's okay. I don't know. Yeah, I've been sick, so I might, well, both of us might sound a little bit sick, I guess.
Yeah, I'm still getting over my illness, but I'm like 95% better.
Yeah,
since our last episode, I was doing so much better by the time we recorded Rebecca that I felt so alive, even though I had been dying even then.
And that was like the 1 week I wasn't sick.
I know.
I had like just gotten over my cold, and then little did I know the next week I was gonna get the flu again. Oh, well, these podcast episodes for us are fun time capsules of whatever very specific thing was going on in our life. So, like, here's that future Erin's sickness.
Sickness, illness. I'm here drinking a spaghetti today.
Oh.
A spaghetti.
Oh. Would you like to share?
Yeah. It's a drink that's based on the popular character from the hit television series Tim and Eric Awesome Show.
Of course.
With Tim's character Spaghetti, and the drink is a Miller High Life that you take a sip out of. This is a legitimate drink, by the way. It came out like earlier this year. I've been drinking it all the time ever since I discovered it. You take a sip out of a Miller High Life, and then you pour in some Aperol, like a shot of Aperol. And then you hit it with the essence of a lemon, just a little bit of a tiny, tiny bit of lemon. And then you have your spaghetti.
Incredible.
Cocktail hour.
I think you made me one when I was there.
Oh, did it? Really? Yeah. It was that long ago?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I know. So you got your spaghetti.
I got my spirits, and I got my holiday spirit.
Yeah. Oh, there we go.
For a holiday, I do.
Wow.
On Telefilms.
Yeah.
Not a Kristen Baker original, though.
No.
Shawn, Michigan. We know that place.
We had a like point and oh my God, it's Michigan moment.
Yeah. I'm excited to talk about that.
Yeah.
How are you? Are you feeling the holiday spirit this year?
No, I'm a little Grinch again.
you're always being a Grinch.
I know. Oh, at least amen. I will say this one, it was giving Christmas.
It was. Yes. Of all the Christmas movies I've watched that are on Telo, this one had some of the most overt Christmas theming.
Yeah.
And most stereotypical Christmas theming.
Also, it makes me happy that this wasn't a Kristen Baker original, because I think we might have some things to say about this, and I am totally biased for anything that Kristen does, because she's just so nice.
I know, yeah.
And we had so much fun when we talked to her in July for the Christmas in July episode.
I know, yeah, it was so nice. And she created Telo, which ended up, you know, releasing this movie this year. Mm-hmm. A Holiday I Do. It's brand new.
Mm-hmm.
Only like 100 people on Letterboxd have watched it.
Oh, wow, 100? That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just barely missed getting to watch the new Hallmark movie. But that came out, I think, it'll come out next week of the time that we're recording it. So it'll come out the week this is released. So we just didn't have time to watch and record an episode on it.
It was just simply not possible. But perhaps next year, but honestly, probably next year, there will be other Christmas movies for us to watch, because it seems like now we are in a space where we're getting new lesbian Christmas movies every single year.
Yeah. But also, why can't we get like a lesbian Die Hard or something? Like, I don't want to watch another Christmas movie. Like, already, I don't want to watch another Christmas movie.
You know what? You're right. I would watch more Kristen Baker Christmas movies, but I'm also kind of over the lesbian Christmas movie. Maybe we can find something that has like vague hints at Christmas, or that takes place in the winter.
Yeah.
To watch next year. I can think of a movie. I can't remember the title. I would have to look it up. But I can think of a movie right now that might be a good fit that we can talk about later.
Oh, cool. All right.
Anyway, Erin, do you want to describe what happens in a holiday I do?
Do I? I do. All right. So a holiday I do. And you can watch this on Telefilms. Big plug for that.
It's available for rent.
It is available for rent. So, but yeah, once you rent it, you can watch it as much as you want over 3 days, which is pretty good. In this movie, we have Jane, and she is a divorced mom who is still really good friends with her ex-husband, Mark. She is feeling content just taking care of her family's ranch, but with Mark getting remarried soon, her mother worries about Jane getting lonely. Mark and his fiancée, Heather, are having a Christmas wedding, and it's only a week away. Heather is a little uptight, not really caring for the small town vibes of their hometown, but, you know, should be okay. The family ranch isn't doing as well as it used to, though, after a big competitor opened. And so the bank is going to foreclose on the property. Dun, dun, Jane's dun. Mom is keeping this a secret from her, though. And that's fine, because Jane's preoccupied by this new woman she keeps seeing around town. But wouldn't you know it? It's Sue, Heather's wedding planner. How can Whoa. She ever make this work?
So easily, actually.
Yeah, actually. It seems like Sue might be interested as well, though, because she invites Jane to go pick up the wedding flowers with her. And then they get free yoga passes from Jane's friend, who pushes them to go to the class together. So they just end up spending a ton of time together. Things aren't going quite as well for Heather and Mark, though. Weather has delayed the in-laws' flights, and now they're not going to be able to make it to the pre-wedding food tasting. Sue and Jane, they get to go in their place, though. Ooh, another date. Jane reveals at this food tasting that she used to be an attorney, or studying to be an attorney, but she put that aside in order to marry Mark and raise their child. After they got divorced, she was going to go back to school, but then her dad got sick. And she just never got around to studying to be an attorney again. After that dinner, Sue and Jane are really connecting. Meanwhile, we learn how dire things are for the ranch. The foreclosure is imminent. The bank calls and says it's going to be a miracle if they can come up with the money before tomorrow. Jane is none the wiser, though. Her and Sue go on a horse sleigh ride, and then they go sledding, and then they get coffee. Sue explains that her rose tattoo is from her mother saying, "The right people will fight through your thorns to get to the rose." And Jane says, "A couple thorns have nothing on her. She'd crawl through a whole bush just for a blackberry."
When all of that was said, the way that Jude, who was watching this with me, reacted was like, oh, it was like the gagging over how saccharine it was and how cheesy it was.
I mean, that doesn't have to do anything with the plot, but I was like, I have to write this down because I want to talk about that. But oh no, the wedding venue is double booked. And because Sue didn't answer her phone when the venue called, they gave the booking to the other people involved. Sue is upset because she let herself get distracted, and she ends up breaking it off with Jane. Jane calls Mark to vent, but oops, he's in the car with his in-laws, and she was on speakerphone. Now they all know what happened. Jane's mom finally comes forward with the fact that they're losing the ranch to Jane when she gets home. Jane is heartbroken, but you gotta take it as it comes. It's first things first. They gotta go to the wedding before anything else. So she goes to the barn and she gets the idea that she could dress it up for the wedding, and she starts hanging lights, but then just kind of immediately gets discouraged. Mm-hmm. However, her friends from town see what she had started and they decide to finish it for her. The ranch is transformed into a beautiful Christmas venue. Jane calls Sue to tell her the wedding is back on. Later, Jane is helping Heather get ready for the wedding. And Heather apologizes for being so cold and distant. She was just feeling insecure. The two hug and make up. Jane is happy to have Heather as part of the family. The wedding goes off without a hitch. Sue and Jane make up, and Sue proposes that the barn could become a full-time venue, with her as the event planner, of course. With this, they can stop the foreclosure. In the end, Jane and Sue share a kiss under the mistletoe. Or technically it's Holly, but...
excuse me? Yeah, thank you. I was just going to say, how could you forget the gay elf on a shelf?
Yeah, the...
How could you forget her?
I didn't forget. This... I don't know how to explain this for you if you haven't seen this movie, but... Elf on a Shelf is a major character in this, which I think actually Christian mentioned in our interview that one of the movies had Elf on a Shelf as like a character, and I was like, I wonder what that means.
I don't remember that.
But yeah, just straight up, people are talking to this elf on a shelf, and it is in multiple scenes.
And it's like moving around in truly magical ways.
Yeah.
And for those of you who aren't familiar with the Elf on the Shelf, it's a children's toy that is placed around to scare children into thinking that Santa's always watching them and that they have to be good because the elf is moving every night and you never know where he's going to be. Anyway, this Elf on the Shelf, though, is wearing a rainbow scarf because it's gay. So, you know, I'm here for that.
Wow.
Wait, I have a question.
Yeah.
Who do you prefer? A gay elf on the shelf as a character? Or Kris Kringle the Owl from under the Christmas tree?
Okay, well, Kris Kringle the Owl from Under the Christmas Tree did not get any screen time. I would argue that Holly the Elf on the Shelf got way too much screen time.
Okay. So you're going to have to go with Kris Kringle?
I think I'll go with Kris Kringle. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Leave him wanting him a little more, you know?
Yeah. Leave him yearning.
But Aaron, look, this movie, it was Christmas at the wazoo. And there was a little bit of magic. So
there's a little bit too much of saving the ranch, maybe.
There's a lot going on in this. Honestly, it is like, it's a rom-com second, kind of.
Yeah. And that was one of the biggest things I was seeing in some of the reviews I was reading was like, yes, it's very Christmas. It's not a bad movie. At the same time, a lot of people were like, why aren't the lesbians front and center? They don't have to be. We don't need every lesbian Christmas movie to have the lesbians front and center. We need a little bit of everything, you know?
Yeah.
At the same time, I do understand the critiques. Like, I don't know, you know?
It really felt like this, a holiday I do, didn't have a lesbian romance subplot in it. And then they added that in for whatever reason and then just was like, okay, perfect. And then they made the movie.
For me, I feel like there are a lot of straight holiday movies that are set up similar to this, where the straight romance isn't the major plot point.
Okay.
But it happens along the way, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's just more in that vibe. It's not, yeah, it's definitely not romance focused. To call it a rom-com is a little bit of a stretch, I would say. But it is a Christmas movie, and it does have lesbians in it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Anyway, we're not here to delineate genres. We're here to talk about lesbians and Christmas.
And, oh no, these lesbians don't have any chemistry.
They kind of don't.
They really don't. Which is part of the reason why I marked down the, like, rose tattoo part of this. Because it's so funny that Sue is like, the right person will, like, get through my thorns to, like, experience the rose that I am. She is the most bland fucking person. I was like, what thorns? Like you barely have any leaves, girl.
Her main personality trait is that she's into Jane.
Yeah.
And that she's a wedding planner.
Yeah, they bump into each other once and Jane becomes absolutely captivated because Sue leaves behind her almond milk latte. And then they just are obsessed with each other after that.
I will say I was interested to see Rivka Reyes in this role. I'm not super familiar with Rivka Reyes, but I did recognize them as being a child actor from back in the day. They are non-binary also.
Oh, yeah.
But they were in School of Rock, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They played the bassist in School of Rock. And then the actress who played Jane hasn't been in that many movies. She is more known, I guess, for writing.
Oh, interesting.
Than she is for acting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jane, too, has a personality.
Mm-hmm.
However, to me, her personality felt a little bit like girl who used to be on Tumblr.
A little bit. She's got the millennial core.
Definitely.
Which, nothing wrong with that.
Exactly. I'm not saying that in a negative way. I'm just saying it how it is.
It is, yeah.
I was on Tumblr, too, so I, yeah. So I can.
Same.
So I'm in the same boat. I get it.
But no, I enjoyed her, at least, as a main character. She brings a lot of energy to this movie.
Yeah.
And when, like, she gets the news about the ranch, like, being foreclosed on, she does legitimately get really emotional. Mm-hmm. And she did a great job in that scene.
Yes.
But yeah, this is a movie where we go from scene to scene to green screen to scene to green screen to scene.
Now let's talk about that green screen. Why was it necessary? I don't know. It must not have been snowing in Michigan that day.
But it was very confusing because the green screen, well, first, it's in every car for some reason, which I guess that's fair. It's hard to shoot that. I can't really fault them for that. But yeah, when they're sledding, I guess it was also just too difficult to film them like going down the hill. It's like you're like facing the characters as they're going down this hill, and then it's a green screen behind them. So they show them like on the hill, and it's on location, and then they're in the green screen, and then they're back on location, and it's just very odd.
Yeah. I feel like a part of it might have been that they couldn't afford a good enough gimbal to get a shot that wouldn't be shaky.
Oh, yeah. That could be.
And so it was like, we'll just green screen it.
Yeah. For films like this with a smaller budget, you gotta do what you gotta do. It's just very distracting.
Yeah. I don't know. I would be really curious to know why. But yeah, it is definitely distracting. It was all I could think about and talk with Jude about while we were watching it. It was like, oh my god.
Man.
It's a very obvious green screen. It's not.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Again, that's common in your standard fare holiday movie.
Hmm. Man, Aaron, the only holiday movies I've watched have been for this podcast. I feel like I have a really strange view of holiday movies.
I know. I have watched a lot of just like random Hallmark movies while they were on with my mom.
Yeah.
But when I think about holiday movies, though, honestly, that's not really what I think about. I think about like the classic holiday movies. I think about like Peanuts, Christmas, and I think about Rudolph, the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Oh, yeah, Rudolph.
And I think about the Grinch.
The Grinch, yeah.
I also really, I do think about the Jim Carrey Grinch, which is, to me, an amazing movie. I just love movies that have a lot of camp, though, and weird stuff in them. Like, it scratches the same itch for me as one of my favorite movies of all time, Austin Powers.
Oh, man. It's like so good.
Yeah, it's of that era, for sure.
When are we getting lesbian Austin Powers?
I know, and when are we getting lesbian Grinch?
So true.
Actually, we already have gotten the lesbian Grinch. She's on this podcast right now.
You got me. I mean, yeah. I don't remember what the Grinch says.
What does the Grinch say? Talk about millennial memes.
No.
I couldn't resist. God. I don't know why that just came to me. The Grinch quotes. Wow. Jim Carrey. Okay, now here's one. There is, however, one teeny tiny Christmas tradition I find quite meaningful. Holds up a mistletoe. The mistletoe. And then he holds the mistletoe over his butt. And then he says, now pucker up and kiss it, Whoville. Oh. And then he wiggles the mistletoe and goes, boy-yo-yo-ing. There you go.
What? I don't know if I should cut that out or not. Oh, man. So what is the best Christmas movie we've watched?
Under the Christmas Tree.
Yeah, I guess it was.
Sorry, Kristen. Then I think it's Christmas at the Ranch.
Yeah.
And then this. And then maybe I hate to put Season of Love at the end. I need to rewatch it.
I would put this one at the end.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah. I think I need to rewatch Season of Love. I think maybe this, yeah. Season of Love might be a little bit. Why are we ranking them?
I don't know. I don't know what else to talk about. This movie was boring.
We've run out of ideas. I thought that it was, you know what is a perspective that I haven't seen in a lot of lesbian movies and in a lot of lesbian movies that we've watched, quite honestly? The friendly relationship with the ex, I thought, was a very nice change of pace.
That is true, yeah.
Also, I appreciated seeing a lesbian mom in this movie, too.
That's true, yeah.
We haven't seen that in any of the lesbian Christmas movies, especially. But also, you just don't see that in a lot of lesbian movies in general. And there are a lot of lesbians who are moms.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that was really nice. Too, it was nice, too, that, like, Jane explains that, like, when she met her husband, Mark, she really did think that she loved him. And, you know, she does love him, just not in a romantic way. And
yep.
And that helped her realize that she was a lesbian. Classic tale of a little bit of compet.
Yeah, exactly.
That's nice to see. And true to what Christian Baker said as well, and no coming out.
Yes, thank God.
It's just Jane is, she's a lesbian. She's in the beginning, it shows her going on a couple of dates. And she meets Sue, and Sue also is a lesbian, and they're hitting it off. And I love that. You don't have to, there's not even like the worry of like, oh no, I wonder if she's like gay or not. It's like the lesbians, they pick up on the vibes. We don't have to go through that old rigmarole. We're here for the romance. It's a Christmas movie. We know they're going to date each other. Like they just skip that step. It's awesome. I love that. Thank you, Tello.
I love that too. Yes, absolutely. Also, you know, who's another character I loved? I love the grandma or the Jane's mom.
Okay, I'm so glad. How could I forget the grandma? She was amazing.
She brought the Christmas to the movie.
Yeah. And she was funny. She had a lot of scenes just kind of by herself where she's just kind of talking to herself. And she was fun.
Yeah. And she's really cute.
Yeah, really cute.
Yeah, I really liked her role. Things got kind of lost along the way for the plotline for the daughter, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah.
That one we kind of forgot to finish up, but that's okay.
Yeah, at the beginning, she's like, Heather gives her this dress to wear to go to see Santa. And she's like, I'm 10. I don't really want to see Santa. And I certainly don't want to wear this dress, but she does it anyway. And though she wears what she wants to there. And then once she's there, she's like, Santa, what do you do if you're just doing something to make somebody else happy? And then Santa's like, that's a tough one. Sometimes there's a middle ground. And then that plot point never gets brought up again.
Well, I feel like the plot point gets brought up a little bit in the friendship between Jane and Mark, right? It's like transformed away from the daughter and into that where it's like, I'm not going to be friends with Mark anymore because Heather wouldn't like that. And it's not going to be fair to Heather if I'm still friends with you. So we're going to have to stop being best friends. But then they have their moment at the end on the day of the wedding where Heather is like, no, you're like a part of our family.
No, that's true. That is how that came around.
That's the middle ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I guess another highlight is the bank person. Instead of being like this evil figure, it's this woman named Andrea who's like friends with the grandma. And who's actually just, like, very nice and is like, you know, like, I'm so sorry that this has come to this. Like, I know that your husband died and this is why you had to, like, take out another mortgage on the ranch. And she even donates at the end of the movie to the grandma and is like, here's my down payment on, like, having a wedding or some kind of event here in the future. And I don't know when that's going to be, but I just want you to have the money so you don't have to foreclose. And I thought that was very nice.
Yeah, she could be the villain of the movie, but she's just a kind woman who's not bringing any negativity to Christmas.
Yeah.
And who is just doing the unfortunate job of being the mortgage collector at the bank.
Yeah.
Weird job, but okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, and she gets some good scenes with the grandma. They do some banter, so.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of anything else. We should have watched two movies.
Dude, I don't know what else to say.
Me neither. I'm just sitting here, like, spinning my gears.
I'm looking at my notes right now. The only notes that I have, aside from the summary and, like, what some of the characters' names were, are Boob Santas. Because one thing, and this legitimately did actually make me laugh, is that for the bachelor party for Mark, Jane picks up some boob cupcakes and she doesn't want to share them with her mother because, you know, they're boobs and you don't want to show your mother boob cupcakes. But her mother finds them and then is like, I could have made better cupcakes than this. They didn't even finish decorating them. And so she turns the little nipples of the boob cupcakes into Santa's nose and makes them into Santa's.
I thought that was genius. That was so funny.
Really funny. Yeah. That was very good. That was very good.
This is very unrelated to that, but we've been to one of the locations that this movie was filmed at.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. That was so funny.
Yeah. When they're touring the wedding venue that got double booked that they can't end up using, two good friends of ours, including at least one who I know has been listening to the podcast, shouts out to our Harley Quinn Pickle Rick drawer. Yeah, two of our friends got married in that same venue, and we spent a whole night partying it up.
Yeah.
And doing Fortnite dances.
Yeah.
On that same floor.
Dude, it was so funny, because Aaron and I, we were watching it, like, around the same time, but we were a little bit async on it. And I texted Aaron, I was like, this venue looks exactly like that venue that our friend had the wedding at. And then Aaron got to that part and was like, oh my God. Yeah, it was just like, what are the chances?
I know, but then it's like, it is the venue, because Jude looked up, it was like, oh, this whole movie was filmed in Michigan. And then I was like, this has to be the same place. It's a very unique location.
Yeah.
And then also, I checked my pictures from the wedding and could confirm that it had like some of the same artwork on the walls. So
yeah,
definitely the same spot. And also, if I recall correctly, that venue is hella haunted, and it's also right next door to like the largest haunted house in Michigan.
Oh,
previously
yeah,
the largest haunted house in the world. Wow. And so I guess if you're there at the wrong time of year, you can also hear people screaming at the haunted house next door. But
oh, that's fun.
Ah.
a holiday I do too, spooky season. I don't know.
A Halloween I do.
There we go.
Yeah, that's there we better. Go. Why is there a lesbian Halloween? No, we would know by now.
We if would there's have a lesbian to know.
Halloween movie.
Yeah.
Now I did just search for lesbian Halloween movie, and it did recommend that I search for lesbian Halloween costumes. Well, you could say that the lesbian Halloween movie is Fear Street.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Just saying. Yeah.
Wait, what's the lesbian Halloween costume?
Minions is the first one.
What? There's no way.
I am not kidding. It is the very first Google image search. If you search lesbian Halloween costume ideas, for me, the very first image is two women dressed as minions.
Do you want to know what I got?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's because I searched lesbians. I'm assuming these are two lesbians. But it's somebody dressed as Rapunzel and then somebody dressed as Jack Frost. Speaking of Tumblr core.
Oh my God, we just can't escape it today.
Yeah. Otto Straddle's 25 lesbian Halloween couples costumes idea. Number 3 is Guillermo and Nandor.
Okay.
Which, yeah, probably.
I am seeing what looks like, I don't know who the second people are, but then I'm seeing Mario and Luigi. That's fun. A whole bunch of Orange is the New Black.
Oh, yeah. The two main characters from Clueless. That's pretty good.
Yes. Grace and Frankie. A lot of Velma and Daphne as well.
Shigo and Kim Possible. That's perfect.
This is a straight couple dressed as Suicide Squad Joker and Suicide Squad Harley Quinn.
Wow.
Recommended ideas, kind of loving this one, even though it is a little dastardly and evil. Miss Honey and Trunchbull from Matilda.
Oh.
Trunchbull, sorry.
The vibes are there, you know?
The vibes are there. Yeah, a lot of ideas. What would you be for a lesbian Christmas costume?
It's gotta be the Grinch and the dog.
Okay, all right.
What's the dog's name?
I almost just said Otto.
Is that not right?
No. That's Jerma's dog.
Oh! Wow.
Max.
Max, okay.
Love the dog in the Grinch. So cute. May I suggest for your lesbian Christmas costume ideas, Heat Miser and Snow Miser?
Oh, that's really good. That's really good.
From the hit movie The Year Without a Santa Claus?
Yeah.
For years, I've been addicted to the Heat Miser and Snow Miser song.
Oh, really? Have you heard the, like, the female singer cover?
Oh, I haven't heard that.
Oh, yeah.
I could do my singer cover right now. Wow. But I'm not going to. I won't subject you to that.
Who do you want to be? The Heat Miser or the Snow Miser?
I kind of want to be the Snow Miser.
Yeah, I was going to say, and then I'll be the Heat Miser. I'm Mr. Warm Christmas. Wait, I forgot.
Nope, Mr. Green Christmas. I'm Mr. Sun.
Yeah.
I'm Mr. Heat Blister. I'm Mr. 101. I'm so sorry I just got nothing today.
That's okay,
I'm sick. I'm Christmas out.
We're both sick. We had to watch this Christmas movie. And now I just watched Eileen. That was so good. We gotta do an episode on Eileen.
Oh, you watched it without me. Oh. It's been on the list forever. I want to watch that movie so bad.
Wait, it's been on the list? I thought it just came out.
About Eileen Wuornos?
Oh, no. I watched it was like a...
Wait, how do you spell Eileen?
In a weird way. Eileen.
Okay, that's the common way to spell it, actually.
I didn't know that.
Sorry, I'm thinking this is a very different movie than what I was thinking. There's another lesbian movie called Eileen, but it's A-I-L-E-E-N.
Oh.
Actually, I'm really sorry. It's called Monster.
Oh.
But it's based on a true story about a lesbian serial killer biopic.
Interesting. Yeah,
about Eileen Wuornos, the serial killer. Okay. Sorry, I really thought that movie was just called Eileen, but it's called Monster. And it's starring Charlize Theron, by the way, who plays Eileen, and Christina Ricci as well is there. Okay, neither here nor there. Eileen was written by Tessa Mosfay, I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce her name. I really meant to read her book, My Year of Rest and Relaxation, and I bought it, and then I was unemployed for a year, and in my own year of rest and relaxation, I did not read My Year of Rest and Relaxation.
Oopsie doopsie.
Oopsie.
That's all right. But yeah, no, Eileen is a 2023 movie. It's like a thriller mystery, and it has Anne Hathaway in it.
Ooh.
I know.
And it's gay?
And I don't know. It might be a little gay.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
How did we get on this?
I don't know. If we were talking about that movie, I'd have a lot to say. But we're talking about a fucking holiday I do. What am I supposed to say? Christmas.
You know what, Erin? This is the last holiday movie we're doing for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
I won't put us through this again next year.
Fuck. And... Eileen takes place during Christmas.
Oh, god damn it. Well, god, we can do it next Christmas.
God fucking damn it. I don't know why that just occurred to me now. I literally just watched it. But, oh my god. Anyway,
we'll watch that next year for Christmas.
Wow, we gotta wait a year. Damn.
I'm so sorry. In the meantime, we can watch Monster about Eileen Ward.
All right, yeah, let's do that, you know?
Yeah, I would be very interested to watch that. The movie is pretty well reviewed, actually. Apparently on Rotten Tomatoes, the viewer rating is at 82%, and the critic rating, I think, is at 74%. So that's pretty good. And Roger Ebert said it was the best film of the year when it came out.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah. So
let's go.
And the third best film of the decade.
Oh.
Anyway. I'm tired. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
Oh, we bungled the podcast.
That's all right. We're allowed to. we're getting back into it. We're allowed to do a little bungle.
It's the end of the year. I have like senioritis of 2023.
Yeah. Let's get this year out of here.
Yeah. Start over. This is a bad year for you.
Yeah. Not a great one.
But next year is going to be slay. You're going to slay so hard that everybody's going to be jealous.
Wow. I can't wait. That's what I want 2024.
Yeah, that can be the motto for 2024.
Anyway, all right. Do you
want? Anyway, let's stop.
Yeah, let's stop.
Yeah, I'm all Christmased out. Yeah, please take us out.
Oh man. What the fuck are we doing next time? We'll get to that.
Oh wait, we don't know.
We don't know.
Can we just say that for once?
Yeah, let's say that. We've said that before.
We don't know what we're doing.
We don't know what we're doing. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I'm sorry it's a little bit messy. If you feel like it, you can follow us on Twitter at GaysGays. And even though we're not tweeting as much as we used to, we're still doing episode updates there. And so it is the best place to just like get information about which episodes are coming out. And if you DM us, we will get back to you. It just might not be in a very timely manner. You can also email us at erin@gaysgays.com. And there you can send us any thoughts, ideas, or recommendations. If you email us, I will send you a mystery Christmas attachment. Who knows what it could be? It won't be a virus. It'll be an image. So just FYI. Many thanks to Kate and Leslie of Neon and Nude for allowing us to use their songs Look and Love and You Pretty Thing for our intro and our outro music. You can and should buy their album at neonandnude.bandcamp.com, but you can also stream it on Spotify. But why not buy Neon and Nude for yourself as a wonderful holiday present, and then you can listen to the dulcet tones of those beautiful lesbians.
Of Kate and Leslie.
Anyway, next week we don't know what we're doing.
we'll be back. Don't worry. It'll be 2024. If you have ideas, email us at erin@gaysgays.com. Yeah. We will take them.
Yeah.
Especially for things that are shorter, like a movie or a short book or
yeah,
a comic or
ooh, yeah, comics.
A visual album.
Ooh.
A comedy special.
We're looking to do an episode just kind of on Yuri in general. So if you have any Yuri recommendations. I mean, we're always looking for Yuri recommendations, but like just in general. And some fun stuff coming next year. You know, this is a more low energy episode, but we have some curveballs coming up that I'm excited about.
Yeah, me too. We have to be low energy now so that we can be crazy
yeah.
like a month or two.
Yeah.
So.
Woo. All right.
Woo. Okay.
But until then, until next year, I'm Erin.
And I'm Erin.
And we're gay.
And we're gay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
If you love love like I love